President Biden was warmly received by European leaders over the past week during his first trip abroad. But when he comes home, he'll have to confront some harsh political realities on getting his ambitious agenda passed, a scenario reminiscent of former President Obama's first days in office. Let's convene our Wednesday political roundtable with political strategist Jamal Simmons, the Democrat. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, Robin. Happy Wednesday.
Oh, yes, isn't it? And Matt Mikowiak, the Republican. Matt, welcome to you as well.
Hey, great to be with you. Thank you.
And let's start with Biden returning to the U.S., his meeting with EU leaders and President Putin behind him. His infrastructure bill stalled on the road ahead. We're going to get to both. But Jamal, you know, just in this time that we are in, how consequential do you think the next few weeks will be for President Biden? What are you watching for?
Yes, it's all consequential because, you know, the clock is running on the Biden administration. They got to get some things done. Trying to get them done this year, this congressional session is important because next year we start to get into the midterms. And so, you know, you're going to see a lot more political chicanery. You know, one of the things that was particularly revealing to me over the last week or so is when Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader, came out and said that he would not confirm a Supreme Court justice in 2024 if the Republicans were back in the majority in the Senate, which just says to me that they're just making it up, right? The Republicans are changing the rules after they confirmed, justices last time while Trump was running for office. They're not going to do it again for a Democrat. So that says to me, to the Democrats, you forget about the rules. Just get what you need to get done. I'm a traditionalist. I'm an institutionalist. I've been around Washington in politics for a long time. It doesn't matter because the Republicans will change the rules when they're in power anyway. So do what it takes to get these infrastructure bills and other problems done now.
Matt, why don't you weigh in on that? Because Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell did vow he'll block another Supreme Court nominee in the run-up to the next presidential election. He had no problem confirming Trump nominee Amy Coney Barrett just before the election last year. Is that something you would recommend to Republicans?
Well, the standard that McConnell reaffirmed is the same standard he used back then, and it's a fundamental either misunderstanding or misconception on Jamal's part. It goes to the question of divided government, and when the American people elect a Senate majority of one party and a White House of a different party, the Senate now minority leader, Mitch McConnell, has said he will let elections decide it if nominations come in presidential election years. That is what he has said. So that was the same standard he used before when Antonin Scalia died. It's the same standard he has said in the future. It requires the Republicans to take the Senate majority back in the 2022 midterm election. I think Jamal right now would admit that's probably less likely than likely. So we're talking about a scenario that's basically a bank shot scenario. But on the first question of Biden right now, he is over there. He did meet with Putin today. That was a warmer meeting than it should have been, given Biden's recent decision on the Nord Stream pipeline, which made Russia very happy, Germany very happy, and basically the rest of the world, the free world, very unhappy. So we will see what happens going forward. I do think the left is disappointed with what Biden has achieved so far. They got COVID stimulus through. They're moving some bills through the House. There's a very uncertain path through the Senate. It appears the filibuster will hold through the rest of this year and probably through next year. They're nowhere on gun control. They're nowhere on infrastructure. They're nowhere on tax increases. Unless they're going to change the rules, which Jamal appears to dislike changing the rules, except when it benefits his side, they're not going to probably get a lot of these big things done that they want to get done.
Jamal, you want to jump in for a second?
Just very quickly. I mean, Matt's point about McConnell, his statement, I know Matt lives in Texas now, and technical term is that's a load of hooey. McConnell, when he first did this to Merrick Garland, did not mention the separation of parties and which party was in power. He said it was an election year. They changed the rules when it came time for Barrett, and now they're willing to change them again going forward. I just think we all have to be clear about what's happening. The Republicans are making the rules up to use power. They're doing it when it comes to voting. They're doing it when it comes to judges. They're doing it on all these state levels in the state. We've got Democrats need to just do what it takes to get their agenda passed.
Okay, Matt, did you just flush a toilet?
No.
Okay, good. Because I thought maybe there's a commentary there. Look, I want to move forward and take up, Matt, the specifics. Take up a question about the Putin summit. We have the specifics elsewhere in the program, but I'm curious. We know that today Putin praised, after their summit, Biden's morality. He mentioned his professional approach, his experience. Now, Republicans may be stung by what looks there like a diss of Donald Trump. And historically, Republicans have, you know, the position has been that Democrats are you know, too soft, too conciliatory to strong men. But Republicans, your party can't do that now, can they, after President Trump embraced Putin? You know, what can Republicans do in this moment?
Yeah, look, and I wish the former President Trump had been more sober about Putin. I think his desire was to try to see if he could increase U.S. leverage and improve U.S. outcomes for policy with Russia if he had a stronger and warmer relationship with President Putin than past presidents have had. That obviously didn't work. That said, I do think the actual record, not the rhetoric, not the Russia's, you know, collusion story, but the actual record for Trump on Russia is stronger than he gets credit for. Putting sanctions on Russia, throwing diplomats out, his absolute moral clarity on Nord Stream 2 and what that will mean for Western Europe and for American interests. You go down the list. Russia did not like the Trump presidency. I don't care what the major media says. They didn't like the policies. They like the policies now better. If Russia likes the U.S. better now, it's because we have a less American, pro-American policy towards Russia. Now, I do think I'm anti-strongman. The Republican Party needs to be clearer about that. I reject that entirely. But we do have to put American interests first. And I don't see Biden doing that as it relates to Russia, as it relates to Nord Stream 2.
Jamal?
Well, one aspect of putting American policy first is to build allies, right? Because I think what President Biden understands is that America is stronger when our transatlantic alliance is in place, when we have alliances around the world that are going to take on some of these strongmen when they come. I think the Trump approach of going alone, America first, is the way that it singles America out, right? And so America ends up being the only person taking stances and then upsetting these coalitions that have been around for decades and were built for a reason. It is a tough thing. I've been in the government. I've been in these negotiations when this is happening. It is a tough thing for Americans to say, we are not just going to do this alone. We are going to do this with friends, and we'll sacrifice 10% of our goals to get 70% of our allies on board. That is a good deal, and I think that that Joe Biden's on the way to that. And I think this agreement today, or this not agreement, but this meeting today with Putin, we will see Biden has reasserted himself as the kind of person who won't be in Putin's pocket.
Well, Jamal, I just have to say, you know, I said, what can Republicans do, given how much Donald Trump embraced Putin, despite, you know, the tons of evidence that he was trying to undermine our democracy? And I see what they might do. Here's Representative Jim Jordan. He's tweeted out, our adversaries feared President Trump. They laugh at President Biden, and every American should be concerned. So that seems to be the message that at least someone's trying to hammer out. But let's move on to what Biden is facing. Top of the list, infrastructure. White House officials say they're going to wait another week or so for senators to come up with that bipartisan deal. Smaller, maybe, but something, you know, that's bipartisan. Yesterday, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said starting today, he's laying the groundwork to pass Biden's more ambitious plan without the Republicans on board, no votes, using the budget maneuver. Even though he acknowledged not all Democrats are on board with that. Let's listen.
There are members with very justified views. Whatever you can do bipartisan, we should try. But alongside that is the view that that won't be enough. It won't be enough on climate. It won't be enough on revenues. It won't be enough on some of the human infrastructure, like paid leave and child care and things like that. So we're proceeding on both tracks.
Proceeding on both tracks, but Jamal, we saw that shout out, you know, somebody wants us to be partisan, or bipartisan rather. Politico has brought up these rumors that have apparently swirled in Washington that West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin may be switching parties. He's the one demanding a bipartisan bill, says he'll hold out. Jamal, how much do you think Schumer is talking to him, and how important would it be for him to stay in this moment in the Democratic Party?
There is nothing more important than Joe Manchin remaining a Democrat for Joe Biden's agenda in the next 2 years. There's nothing more important than that. So the Democrats who say it doesn't matter are people who just, I don't understand the mathematics that they learn and they practice. You've got to get 50 plus the vice president in order to make this work. And so holding on to Joe Manchin is important, which is why doing something from a bipartisan perspective is important. The danger for that is, you can do all the easy popular stuff that Republicans like in the bipartisan deal, and then you do all the hard stuff, tax increases and the things that Republicans don't like, which makes it easier for Republicans to attack it. But again, if the choice is keep Joe Manchin on board and get a deal done, that's the option on the table, and Democrats have to pursue it.
And Matt, I'm not going to ask you again, as we've asked every Republican, but you know, why are Republicans voting against what Americans overwhelmingly want, which is infrastructure? Instead, I've got to ask you, in the minute we have, these power plays we've heard about from former President Trump, top aides emailing Justice Department officials, pressuring them to investigate non-existent election fraud, his attorney general secretly seizing phone records of Democratic lawmakers, their families. Is this something you'd advise Republicans to do?
Good question. Look, I would never advise anyone to do anything that's illegal. And if anything has been done that's illegal, it needs to be independently investigated, needs to be criminally charged, needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I don't care what party
the person's in. How about undemocratic? How about just undemocratic?
Pardon me? Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, yeah. Look, I mean, what I would say is there are actual reasonable concerns about the way the election was conducted. Do I believe Biden won? Yes. Do I believe there's any doubt about that? No. Do I believe Pennsylvania violated its own constitution by sending out unsolicited mail ballots? Yes, I do. So I think that's an issue, and I think there are some reasonable questions.
Let you get that in. Matt Mikowiak, the Republican, Jamal Simmons, the Democrat. Thanks to you both.
Thank you. Take care.